Monday on the Horn, B&E with you. Start up your workday every day right here. We appreciate you doing so on the show of the people. Got a lot to do this hour coming up in our Coach's Corner. Good weekend for the Longhorns on the fields and courts of play for sure. We'll talk a little Shaka Smart and Texas hoops. Also at the bottom of the hour, Brian Davis will join us. Austin American Statesman, 7:30. His story over the weekend previewing the Texas President Jay Hartzell's committee report due tomorrow. Surrounding the eyes of Texas and its history, its origins, and we'll get Brian's thoughts. Brian did have a Zoom call late last week with the president and previewing some of what's coming on Tuesday, so we'll get the details and the intel from Brian at the bottom of the hour. Hot or not for the end of the hour, we start the hour with your payoff to your B&E fact of the day. Giannis Antetokounmpo last night, NBA All-Star Game, Buck, 16 for 16 on his way to a 35-point performance and an MVP award. He wins the Kobe Bryant MVP. One other player in an NBA All-Star game went perfect from the field. Could you name him?
Allen Iverson.
Good guess, but no. It was Hal Greer.
Oh, my goodness, Hal Greer of the Philadelphia 76ers?
That's correct.
This used to be one of my favorite players. He and Wally Jones played together.
He went 8-8, 8-for-8. So Giannis shattered it by double, 16-for-16, no missed shots. Which is pretty cool. There are a lot of cool little factoids around the NBA right now. Did you realize that with the Luka Doncic playing in the All-Star game at 22, he joins a pretty elite class of players who have made multiple All-Star teams and started multiple All-Star games before their 22nd birthday. He joins LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, Shaquille O'Neal, Isaiah Thomas, and Rick Barry.
Wow.
Rick Barry. Pretty good list for Luka. As the All-Star game came and went last night, now in the books.
Do you know they shot 50-some percent, 60-some percent from the three? I mean, that's ridiculous. Even if nobody's covering you, how do you do that?
Also, this one's fun. Did you know that Chris Paul became the third player in All-Star game history to represent four different franchises in an All-Star game? CP3 joined.
A narrow championship, right?
No, but this Phoenix team, he's playing. You know,
well, I like them.
He is one of those players, CP3, Chris Paul, who just makes everybody around him better. Wherever he goes, they win. But he has not won a championship. You're correct. The Clippers, his fourth different team in an All-Star game, joining Moses Malone and Shaquille O'Neal. Only other players to do that.
That's a good team, Phoenix, too.
I know.
Good young team.
Second best record in the league with Devin Booker and young big man Ayton. And then, of course, Chris Paul has become really a go-to guy for them. So NBA All-Star Game in the books. It was a fun weekend of basketball. You know, we do good, bad, and ugly on a Monday. Rubik's recap in the weekend. I think we need a new category. I think after the first hour, good, bad, just all right, and ugly, because you guys have both said that the NBA All-Star Game was just all right. The sequel to Coming to America was just all right. The weekend, you know.
I don't think my expectations were very high for the movie anyway. I just didn't know how they would figure to do just – as you're trying to figure out who the son was and all these other things.
It was a mystery to it a little bit?
No, not really. I mean, it was, it didn't do the same thing that number one does. And that's for anybody, any movie that you want. You know, like Jaws 1, of course. Did you ever remake Jaws and make it look close to Jaws 1? Think Jaws 2 was going to be like that? Not really, although I was interested in Jaws 2. But once I got to 3 and then they started doing stuff at, you know, Little Mermaid's Park where the shark got loose. I was kind of done with all that. But this one was, I didn't know what to expect, and I got what I expected.
You said you were watching the 50th anniversary of the Frazier-Ali fight. So you weren't watching the interview Oprah did with...
I did watch some of that also.
Prince Harry and Meghan, how was that?
I thought it was okay. I thought Oprah did a fantastic job, as she always does.
Nice.
Sucking the blood right out of you. So... she sucked out some of the truth from Megan. So she does, man. Oprah can get that out of you.
Are you calling her?
She can get it out of you, though, man. She can go ahead and get that stuff out of you. You may not want to tell, but when she starts asking those questions, you start just yapping away. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I haven't seen the early overnight ratings, but I'm sure it did a gangbusters number last night on CBS with Oprah with the Royals or the former Royals.
So I think
they're not going back, are they?
Oh, hell no.
They're not real happy with the Royal family.
No. And it's... vice versa, and neither one is happy with each other. So, and if you watch The Crown and you go through that whole Crown series, you'll know how difficult that had to be for both of them, because they're not royalty types. They don't really want to be. They just want to be themselves. And I'll say this for Harry. He was going to take care of his wife. He looked at the rest of them and said, hey, That's my lady right there. Y'all can all go to hell.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of what he did.
Like he admitted he has this really strained relationship with his father and his brother because of all this. And
yeah.
Like his dad at one point, Prince Charles, wasn't even taking his calls. Like, it wouldn't even,
right.
What does your kid have to do to you to where you won't even take his call? Like, I can't think
marry
of something like
that woman.
I
know how that works. You marry
she
that
Yoko
woman.
Ono or something? What the heck's going
you,
on?
I'm telling you, you marry her. Somebody's going to stop calling you eventually.
I'm pretty sure I have three kids. There's not much I could do that I wouldn't take their phone call.
Yeah, absolutely. But that's, like I said, you never got into The Crown. If you really go through the beginning of that whole series E and learn about what it's like to be a royal and what you have to do and how it's like above all, it's kind of crazy.
Kind of ridiculous. Let's get to the headlines. Trending topics of your busy Monday morning. Sinus and snoring specials bring you the news here in the 7 o'clock hour. Trending topics include the big weekend on the fields of play for the Burnt Orange, including Longhorn basketball. Both the Texas men and women went to Fort Worth yesterday and took care of business over TCU. Texas men, 15th-ranked team in the country, finished off a victory over the Horned Frogs 76-64. Andrew Jones led four Horns in double figures. He had 16. Courtney Ramey, 13 points, 6 assists as the Horns improve to 17-7 for head coach Shaka Smart.
Yeah, I thought the guys did a good job of just staying connected with each other on defense. TCU actually made some tough shots, but I thought our defensive effort was good. There was good aggressiveness. And then on the half court for us on offense, we did a nice job with pace, and Matt and Courtney and Andrew did a good job attacking, getting in the paint, and finding shots for guys.
Texas won 4 out of 5 down the stretch. They are the 3 seed at the Big 12 Conference Tournament, which opens up this week. Longhorns will see their first action on Thursday night. They've seen Texas Tech in the final game of the day on Thursday. That game you'll hear here on the Horn. Longhorns were swept by the Red Raiders in the regular season, so they'll go with revenge on their minds. Yesterday afternoon in Fort Worth, Texas women also won their regular season finale, beat the Horned Frogs 69-60. After the game, Longhorn forward Charlie Collier announced that she plans to forego her senior year, and she's going to enter the WNBA draft in the spring. No big surprise, the 6'5" junior leads Texas to 21 points a game and 12 rebounds. She's likely to be the number one overall pick, or certainly will be one of the first two picks of that draft. In Houston yesterday afternoon, Texas baseball clinched a series win over the Houston Cougars, 8-2 the final. Right-hander Kobe Kubelcheck was the winner, picked up the victory, 6 solid innings, and he's second win of the season. Texas pitching outstanding all weekend, including Ty Madden. If you missed it on Friday night, the complete game, 14 strikeout shutout, a masterpiece and a 1-0 win for the Longhorns, who are now 7-5 on the year. They're back in action tomorrow night, hosting the Bearcats of Sam Houston State at UFCU Dish Falk Field. We mentioned the NBA All-Star Game. Team LeBron James beats Team Kevin Durant 170-150. Greek Freak, the MVP. Also over the weekend, Portland's Anthony Simmons won the dunk contest. Steph Curry won the three-point shootout. And Pacer forward Domantas Sabonis won the skills challenge. Golf, Bryson DeChambeau held off Lee Westwood to win the Arnold Palmer Invitational at Bay Hill. That's his first win for Boom Boom Bryson since the U.S. Open back in September. And in NASCAR, Kyle Larson won the Penske 400 at Vegas Motor Speedway.
This hour brought to you by Sinus and Snoring Specialists. Get sinus and snoring relief with Dr. Daniel Slaughter at Sinus and Snoring Specialists, 512-601-0303 or sinussnoringent.com.
You know, Jordan's getting close, and I just think he just has to talk less to himself.
Ooh.
I think he throws, there's still negatives in his discussion with his own self. You know what I mean? And it was so clear because he played by himself on Sunday, right? Or was it Saturday he played by himself? No, it was Sunday because I think Rosie had to withdraw. Something happened to him, his back or something, had spasms. So Jordan Spieth played the whole round, or he played 15 holes alone. And yeah, man, they had the conversation. He was having conversations, of course, with his caddy, but he had more conversations with himself. And through those conversations, he doesn't say a lot of negative things, but he doesn't say enough positive things about his shots. And anytime you put any negative thoughts in your mind like that, I just think it's tough to overcome. And I don't know. I'm not a therapist, but I would suggest probably just being quiet and playing your round of golf and seeing what that's like to play.
Well,
I think that's hard for him to do.
Are you claiming stinking thinking for Jordan? Stinking thinking?
I think there's a little stinking thinking going on. He's been like that all his life. I mean, he's played that way.
Well, look, I mean, when he was starting his career like a comet, like we've never seen before, he was just such a great closer. You realize he shot 75 yesterday. Like, he went into Sunday with a chance.
I know.
He shot 75. And you know where Jordan Spieth ranks on Sunday scoring average on the PGA Tour? even though he's playing better this year, 193rd.
Wow.
193rd in Sunday scoring, which three or four.
Quit talking to yourself on Sundays.
I don't know what the deal is. I don't know if it's a mental thing. He's playing great. He's putting himself in position. He's putting himself in contention. And then Sunday just doesn't happen for him. There's no juice. And, Saturday's moving day. He's been good
Saturday's
on Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday's by himself.
And then then Sundays he's just not been closing. We'll see if he can turn that around. But it was good to see Bryson DeChambeau putting on a show. He's been, he was the biggest story in golf when he won the U.S. Open last year. And really has, I don't want to say disappeared. He just hasn't done much. But with the win at Arnold Palmer's Invitational this weekend, he has marked that he's back. Bryson will be a factor as we get into the bigger events of the golf season, which, as you said, starts this weekend with the Players' Championship.
Yeah, that'll be fun. I love watching the Players.
Yeah, that'll be good.
Well, the other guy who's really, really struggling is Ricky Fowler. But then again, I always thought he was struggling. Big Ricky Fowler.
Big Ricky Fowler.
Yeah.
All right, so golf is in the headline. Remember, later in the month, it's the Dell Technologies Match Play coming to Austin Country.
And on to the Masters.
And on to the Masters.
We'll see the Azaleas.
Second time in, 4 or 5 months?
I like
that. Masters, which is pretty cool. And we'll have some fun with that. Golf season really heating up. Basketball season, the madness of March, is here. This is a busy week. Big 12 basketball tournament really gets March going with the Longhorns as the 3 seed. Props to Shaka Smart and the Longhorns. And that'll take us into our Coach's Corner, brought to you by Audiovisual Consultations at 715. Tom McKay and his crew at avconsultations.com. Props to Shaka, Buck. We're critical of them when it's time, but give them credit where credit is due. They've won 4 out of 5. And they've hit the most important time of the season, March, playing some pretty damn good basketball, pretty well-rounded basketball. We've talked about the interior players getting more involved. Well, yesterday in the win over TCU, Jericho Sims and Kai Jones combined for 23 points. So those guys continue to emerge around the guards. Andrew Jones, Courtney Ramey, Matt Coleman doing their thing. So this is fair to say, going into the Big 12 tournament and then into March Madness, this is a dangerous basketball team. They can do damage. They can make a run. The question becomes, will they? And have you seen enough to think that they can make a long run in the dance?
I don't know about a long run, but I think they can win 2 games into it. There are a lot of really not great basketball teams, but really decent basketball teams. And some of them are starting to reach that crescendo where they really are starting to peak all over the country. And it doesn't matter. I mean, Big East basketball, there are some teams that are starting to play well. And then there are some other teams that are starting to collapse down the stretch. I mean, the ACC is just, that thing is a mess, as a matter of fact.
Duke finishes their regular season at 11-11.
They're not playing.
Think about that. 11-11
by
for
Duke.
Coach K.
Duke is not Duke.
Duke is Duke. Kentucky out.
Yeah.
We talked about these blue bloods that won't play into this tournament. And, the top two teams are Gonzaga and Baylor. I mean, somebody just texted and said, no Tiger, no ratings, which is kind of true in golf.
Dude, they're bringing Tiger back if he has a peg leg. If he looks like a pirate out there.
Is he Lieutenant Dan now?
I'm telling you,
nice.
That dude is playing golf. They're going to find a way to talk him back on that course. Give him 2 years.
Well, that's what I wonder about March Madness.
2 years.
What are the ratings going to be for March Madness? I mean, the name brands aren't going to be in the tournament this year. Now, there aren't going to be fans, essentially. It's all going to be in Indianapolis, which is kind of a unique situation because of the pandemic. But with Baylor and Gonzaga are your top two teams, there's not a lot of sex appeal to that for just the casual sports fan, right?
Yeah, and especially teams that are struggling, like even Villanova is starting to struggle. I watched, get back to the plantation, Creighton, the other day.
Don't leave the plantation, Creighton.
Yeah, well, whatever, don't leave the plantation. But they're pretty good. That's a pretty good team, too. There are some good teams, E. out there. They're just not the big name teams that we're used to hearing.
Normally that's what people like to root against Duke, right? Or they root for or against
right.
them. They're a polar team. But they bring eyeballs. They bring the attention. Kentucky. People like to root against Kentucky because of John Calipari and the one and duns and, the way he operates.
Louisville's not making it to the tournament.
Now, Michigan State beat Michigan yesterday. Tom Izzo's team, they're coming. That Big Ten is kind of like the Big 12. It's just a gauntlet right now with top teams. But Shaka Smart, congrats and props. Longhorns will be the 3 seed. And that was aided by a big win by Oklahoma State, who beat West Virginia on Saturday in a good game. They beat them without Cade Cunningham. Props to Mike Boynton and his crew there at Oak State. They're playing some good basketball.
Yeah.
They've won 5 of 6 now, or 6 of 7, and the only loss was to Baylor. You wonder if Cade Cunningham will come back and play in that Big 12 tournament. He's got a gimpy ankle.
I think, like Zay said, why?
Yeah.
Why? I mean, you're going to make it to the –
you're right.
You want him to be as healthy as can be. I think a lot of these games – Illinois is for real. They just took Ohio State in a game that I thought Ohio State would win that at home.
Uh-huh.
Senior night day or whatever. Illinois just said, okay, not so fast. That's a good Illinois basketball team.
Yeah, Brett Hunter.
They got their best player back, too.
I know.
Terrifying.
Yeah. Well, madness is here. You know what else is this week, Buck? Thinking of Coach's Corner, this is the Texas Pro Workout Week.
That's a big day for a lot of kids here. Coming up
on the 11th.
Big day.
So Wednesday, Thursday is the 11th. That's big for Sam Ehlinger. Remember, there's no combine this year. There's no NFL combine in Indianapolis, and that's already come and gone. So pro days become huge. And six Longhorns got invited to the virtual combine, including Sam Ehlinger and Joseph Osai. Taquan Graham. I mean, these are guys. Caden Stearns is an interesting name. The pro scouts are going to show up to see, and the name that'll be getting the most headlines is, how does Sam Ehlinger perform? You know, he played in the Senior Bowl, got the start in the Senior Bowl, and by all accounts played pretty well with the reworked delivery. You know, I think the question for Sam Ehlinger, can he work himself into, you know, a higher day three draft pick? I think everybody assumes Sam Ehlinger is going to be a day three draft pick, meaning fourth to seventh round of the NFL draft. Most people think Joseph Osai is going to be a first-round draft pick.
I don't. I think he'll be a second round, early second round.
I don't think
Texas will have a first-round draft pick.
Osai would be the one. Samuel Cosmi, of course, the left tackle, is another guy that is going to try to turn some heads at Pro Day. These are guys that have high ceilings. And
Graham is a guy that I would have to think the pros would be. You know what? One thing Texas has done, they've had some big men who weren't expecting to be high-quality guys all of a sudden leave the college and become really good NFL players, especially those big tackles. You know what I mean? Since that goes way back to the kid from the Patriots. Although he was a first-round pick, Brown. But they've been bringing in – Texas is bringing in some guys who are fourth-round picks or whatever that end up being pretty good players in the NFL and on the defensive line. So Graham is another one of those guys who could, he moves, he's a big dude, he can play a lot of different positions.
Yeah, well, Malcolm Roach has gone on and...
They remind me a lot of each other.
Puna Ford, of course, has had a great run in Seattle, so I think you're right about that.
Malcolm Brown was a first round. He was a stud.
Yeah.
Period.
So we'll see. That's a big week for those guys, so we'll keep our eyes on that. It's a busy week with hoops. The madness, and here comes Pro Day. Got golf on the brain with the Players' Championship with Bryson DeChambeau coming off the win in Orlando. So we'll get into all those things throughout the course
spring
of the
practice
busy week. Coming up, though, another big event or big news story of the week will be tomorrow with the release of the President's Committee report on the eyes of Texas and the controversy surrounding it. Coming back, we'll talk to Brian Davis of the Austin American Statesman. He had a story out over the weekend previewing the report. Another story will drop tomorrow. We'll talk to Brian in a preview of what he's hearing. The results will be in this 95-page report that will be out tomorrow, what we may glean from it. We'll talk to Brian next here on B&E.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
B&E on a busy Monday. Hope you had a great weekend. It is a lot to do between now and the top of the hour. Do you know Michael Jordan has built a new high-end golf resort, private golf course, for he and his friends?
Just he and his boys? To go gamble at?
Whatever. I'll tell you something maybe you didn't know about that. In Hobe Sound, Florida is where it's at.
Do you think he walks up to the tee box? If somebody's up there first, he just kind of goes, I don't think so.
I think people know who's boss at the...
You think so?
It's called The Grove.
They move back?
Yeah, I think he knows who's boss. Also, did you hear about the brawl at the Bed Bath & Beyond that happened over the weekend? Big brawl. To get your details on that. We're taking your good, your bad, and your ugly from the busy weekend. But it's a busy week as well. As we say, Texas Pro Day this week. Timing Day is coming up. Also tomorrow, the University of Texas President Jay Hartzell, his committee's report... on the deep dig dive of the eyes of Texas will be released. And to talk about that and preview the report and talk some Texas athletics, it's our buddy Brian Davis of the Austin American Statesman on the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. Brian, good morning. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning, boys. How are we doing?
By the way, congratulations on your award, my friend, a couple weeks ago. Yes.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, gentlemen. I really do appreciate that. I really do appreciate it. I did not want 2020 to just completely go to waste professionally.
Well, you didn't waste it. You got to work. You really did.
See? There you go. Yeah. Brian just brings it. Yep. Hey, Brian, what's going to happen tomorrow with this report, 95 pages? I know you had a little preview of it with some folks on the committee and a story about the report that comes out tomorrow in the paper over the weekend. What's your feel for what this will do, if anything, to diffuse the conversation surrounding the eyes of Texas?
Well, the biggest thing about it is that it's – I'll say this. This report is not going to satisfy 100% of the people interested in it. It just won't. Either you believe the song is racist or you don't. That's it. There's really no in between. And I think what we're going to learn tomorrow from my talks with some people in and around the tower and people who have seen it, I think what we're going to learn tomorrow is what we kind of already knew realistically, that the song was originally performed in a minstrel show. That's not very good. That's bad. Probably the people that were that did perform it originally were in blackface. Obviously, that's not good. But it appears that very quickly in the early 1900s there, that the song became something of a kind of a term of endearment, if you will, in addition to poking fun at the original president at the time, President Prather at UT. And obviously, as the decades went by, the song has become something different. And so, I think that UT is going to own what happened initially, but they're going to say that's what happened. We acknowledge that. And the university is, in a sense, kind of moving on, right? Because the university has already said we're keeping the song. And I really think what's going to be important is not hiding from it and just teaching everyone about it. Because the biggest blowback piece that I've heard from a lot of people is, hey, I didn't know this about that. And I think if you educate people up front, incoming freshmen and whatnot, I think that will, at least they hope, anyway, I think they hope that sort of makes this controversy die down, if you will.
Be interesting to see. That'll be tomorrow. And you quoted Quan Cosby in your story over the weekend. We had Quan last week. He was on the committee, and his thought was that they did extensive research, and so people can read for themselves what the results were and then determine for themselves. But I think you're right, Brian. It's not going to change somebody's opinion if they already have it set. But at least they'll have the information and can lead to a more positive dialogue and have all the information. So when people aren't putting out falsehoods and misinformation about the song, I think is the goal from this committee, according to Quan and some others, right?
Yeah, absolutely. There's no question about it. No question about it. Quan told me on Friday, he said, I was very nervous about, what are we going to go in here and learn, right? And while, while Quan, like the other members of the committee, were not allowed to give any sort of final verdict, if you will, any final say, because they want the report to speak for itself. I mean, anybody who knows Quan Cosby, I mean, he's not going to bite his tongue at all, I don't think. He's going to tell you what's what. And I think he and other members of the committee were pretty forthcoming, at least with me on Friday, is that, yeah, does this song are there some issues at the very beginning? Yeah, but is this a complicated issue maybe going forward? Well, here are the facts. You decide.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of complicated issues, but in the end, with all the talk, they're going to give you information that you have to make a decision for yourself whether you think it is or it's not, because the thought is the university is not changing it. It's just giving you a committee that can give you some fact-finding things that you could have got yourself, really. You could have gone and got all the facts about this song. You didn't need a committee to do it. But it makes it seem, that's good. We've done this. We got our committee. But guess what we're going to do? We're playing that song. It never came off to me as something I love. As I talked to Quan, I know Quan wasn't in agreement with me. I'm like, well, that's great. That's great to have a committee. It's great to try to fact find. But these are things you could do yourself as individuals and find it out. Or your mom can tell your son who's getting ready to go to Texas, or your daughter, here's what this song was all about. It has changed over time. But no matter what you think of it, we ain't changing. It's going to be it's going to be sung. So you just have to take it for what you think. And if you don't think you want to send your sons and daughters or band members or whatever to play that song, then you probably shouldn't come here. I'm serious. If that's because all this activism and all this stuff, if you say you're not going to do something, then stick to it. Don't do it. If it bothers you that much, let's see you not do those things. But this song is going to be played. It was never really on the table of not ever not being played.
That's true, and I think one of the main issues is that you have a lot of people who, quite frankly, are outside of the UT bubble, if you will, outside of the UT ecosystem. They're the ones that are demanding with the loudest voices, hey, you need to get rid of that song. You need to change it. You know, how racist Texas, right? There's a big piece in the Atlantic over the weekend, right? I mean, you know, whether it's Jemele Hill, Christine Brennan, these people who have never stepped foot on this campus, at least mm-hmm. not in the last decade. I mean, those are outside voices. Okay, anybody has an opinion. I get it. But I'm more interested in the people who are here every single day, you know, and the people who, you know, have an active stake in the university. And that's everyone, from players to coaches to administrators to donors to the fans who come on Saturdays. So,
And these coaches, Brian, and these coaches will have to go in the homes of recruits and talk to parents about it. That's going to be their mm-hmm. job. That they're going to have to. They need to know the history of it too, because moms and dads are going to ask you that question, and it's not going to just be. It's not going to just be faces of young black athletes coming here. Moms and dads of all colors are going to ask the question about this, and how are you going to handle this? Is there going to be a problem this year in the summertime? All of a sudden, once again, a player's going to walk off the field, a player's going to stay on the field. They want to know that before they send their, whether they're white or black. They're going to want to know that.
Yeah, and I think that after this report comes out, and we have the fallout, if you will, of whatever happens on Tuesday, I think if this is still an issue in September, then something's gone drastically wrong, mm-hmm. right? Because by September, everybody who's on that team is going to know the score, right?
Correct.
And you're either in or you're out. And I feel like, you know, you're right. Sarkisian's going to have some hard conversations with some recruits and their families.
Right.
But he can also say, look, it's 45 seconds after the game. I care about the 3 hours that come before it, you know? I've told some people this in the tower, and they sort of laugh at me, but the football coaching staff better have a damn good answer, canned, locked, and ready to go whenever they get that question, and they all better be on the same page.
I would agree 100%.
That question.
You're right.
Well, and that is, you know, part of the reason this becomes such a black eye for Texas nationally is the handling of it, you know, through the summer and into the season, and how ugly it got. To that end, Brian, the Texas Tribune reporting, I know you've done the Freedom of Information to get a hold of those emails. You know, is there an issue for CDC in this case? Chris Del Conte, the Longhorn Athletic Director, you know, he had to, you know, the president had to come out and repudiate some of the emails and distance the university from some donors who, you know, of those emails said some pretty horrible things. But at the same time, the reports from some players that, you know, Chris Del Conte was using those emails as a reason they needed to be out there, almost, you know, I don't want to say threatening them, but saying you may not get a job in Texas, those kind of things. Has Chris Del Conte got some issues to deal with here in his leadership and his handling of this entire thing?
I definitely think that Chris has to go to some people internally, you know, probably DeMarvion Overshown, you know, first on the list, and just explain to them, say, you know, look, stupid people are going to say stupid things all the time, you know, and nobody can stop that. I mean, the university cannot stop people from sending disgusting emails to the tower. They can't do that, right? And at the same time, the players have to be smart enough to know that fans are going to say nasty things about them on their social media literally every day, right? I mean, you can open up your social media feed and see something disgusting every day, right? You have to learn how to block all that noise out. Now, granted, that's very, very difficult for an 18 to 21, 22-year-old. I get it. It's very difficult for me, you know, in my 40s, right, when you just have this negativity constantly barraging you, you know, from all sides. And so what Charlie said it best, social media is the death of society, right?
The downfall
the downfall of society, exactly. So I think that Texas needs to get with their folks and say, look, you know, some idiot moron who sent a disgusting email is not going to dictate the rest of your life, okay? And it's just not going to happen. So
I think you said it right, Brian. I think that's perfect. That one or two or five or eight people shouldn't dictate what your life is going to be and how you think.
Exactly.
I mean, that's well said, man.
Well, and then the question is, should Texas still be taking their money if they are actually big money donors? That is another fallout of this conversation, which will be ongoing.
Yeah, that's one thing I want to point out. You notice I slipped that into my Sunday story. One particular emailer in the Texas Tribune, I don't want to say his name, but one particular named emailer in that Tribune has given a grand total of $50 to the Longhorn Foundation.
Wow.
Okay, so that's another thing. Let's not act like these people sending in disgusting emails are
the rich and famous?
Are the rich and exactly. A lot of these people are just idiots with an email, right? And so you have to remember that as you're taking all that in.
All right. We'll see the fallout. The president's report tomorrow. Brian Davis doing great work, as always, at the Statesman and Statesman.com, Hook'em.com as well. Brian, quickly, Texas basketball, a couple thoughts. I mean, they win, you know, 4 out of 5 down the stretch, 3 straight. They're the 3 seed in the Big 12 tournament. So I think, as you know, Buck and I talked in the first part of the show, you know, regular season in the books, and I think a solid B plus for Shaka Smart. But where do you see this thing going from here?
Well, I think as much as people think that Shaka's off the hot seat, I still think that the pilot light is on.
Ooh.
Right. This is the best team that he's had in 6 years. This is the highest finish he's had, finishing third by himself in 6 seasons. This is a terrific, terrific finish. 3 road wins in 6 days is terrific, absolutely terrific. If they go 1 and done in the NCAAs, I still think they'd make a change. They have got to do something in the postseason that really turns heads. You got to get to the Sweet 16 at least. You cannot let this veteran team just die on the vine and, you know, not, you know, cash in any way. You have to do it. I think this was a solid season, given everything they battled, COVID, Isopalooza, all that other stuff. Were there some losable, were there losses that should have been wins? Absolutely. Absolutely there are in there. But that's done. Postseason starts this week, and they got Tech on Thursday.
Yeah, and a chance to exact some revenge. Red Raiders swept the Longhorns, 2 of their 7 losses to Chris Beard's team. They'll play them Thursday night in Kansas City. Brian, thanks so much. Always appreciate the work and the visit.
Thank you, Brian.
Appreciate it, guys.
All right, Brian Davis, look for that report tomorrow. 95 pages, according to Brian, in his preview. 95 pages in the report. You can read for yourself the history, the origins of the Eyes of Texas, and then make an educated decision instead of just second and third-hand information about why it is or why it isn't, and that will come out tomorrow. Coming back, we'll hit our Hot or Not topics, including the brawl at the Bed Bath & Beyond. And yes, Michael Jordan has opened an exclusive new private golf course that you and I will not be invited to, Buck.
What the hell? Why can't we play?
It's Beanie on the Horn.
What's hot? And what's not?
This segment brought to you by Altstadt Beers, brewed right here in the heart of the Hill Country. Check out their state-of-the-art brewery, tap room, and restaurant next time you're in Fredericksburg. Altstadt Beers, no impurities, no regrets.
All right, hot and not on a good, bad, and ugly Monday. Isaiah Collier, our producer, will lead us through the topics we've missed halfway through the show. Thank you to Brian Davis, bringing some insight and conversation on the Eyes of Texas debate. All right, hot Buck, and then we'll let Zay take over. Hot, Michael Jordan's new golf club, the Grove 23 in Hobe Sound, Florida, and it's 23 with Roman numerals, XXIII.
23. Sort of like the clubhouse looks. Like a palace?
So rumors say there'll be 100 members allowed. 100. That's it.
Okay, you can get your tee time.
Clubhouse is stunning. The golf course itself has what they call double helix routing that can be played in either 4+9 combinations or shorter 3-6-hole loops. You just want to get a little golf in for an hour and a half.
Okay.
With your buddy Mike. Also, among the new technology, how about drones that deliver? They don't have cart girls. They have drones that deliver drinks.
Oh, there's no peeing in the bushes there. You can't pee in the bushes then, right?
I don't see many bushes. The course itself is spectacular.
No drones will be checking you out?
And
there's no trees.
Can I just tell you that, you know, the PGA Tour golfer Jimmy Walker?
Uh-huh.
Turns out he got to play around, apparently, recently at the new club in South Florida. And he tweeted out a picture of the ice cubes. He said he was having a little drink there. And the ice cubes actually have a silhouette of Michael Jordan, like his Air Jordan silhouette, in the ice cube.
That's not vanity, is it?
No, there's no narcissism here. Mike, come on, man. Look and see if you can make a friend. Begin the networking now if you want to get a round of golf.
I'll get on that bad boy.
Grove 23.
I'm there.
I'd also say on the Not Hot Side, Zay, I don't know if you've seen the video of the brawl at the Bed Bath & Beyond in Scottsdale, Arizona. Was that what it was, Bath & Body Works? Ooh, man, and these ladies were slugging it out.
Then Bath & Body Works over some gel?
I guess they were fighting over hair products. Shower product.
Stuff?
I don't know. And there's some round-shouldered ladies throwing haymakers. That's the best part. We've got video.
Well, that dude put his hand on her. Don't put your hands on people.
I don't think I see a dude.
There's a dude that was trying to escort them out, and he was a part of
security
management there, and he put his hands on the one lady.
Oh, look at that. Takedown. She said, I will cut you. Look at him. Look, oh, they're rolling around on the ground. It's too much.
She's overwhelmed by staff members.
Yeah, Zay, what do you have in Bath & Body Works? My fault for Bed Bath & Beyond.
Yeah.
It's easy to confuse.
We don't deal
them.
Like that at Bath.
Yeah.
And Beyond, yeah.
Zay, what do you have, my friend?
Yeah, fellas, that Bath & Body Works, those candles, they don't smell that good.
No.
But anyways, cancel culture strikes once again.
Oh,
and I don't know if this is good or bad. I think overall, it's bad just because the fact that people have a problem with this is the problem. But Space Jam, A New Hope, is the sequel to the 96 version of Space Jam with Michael Jordan. This version has LeBron James. And Lola Bunny, the bunny that Bugs was always after in the first one, she was kind of sexualized in the first one to where she had a lot of hips and dips and all types of trips.
Nice.
And this version is a little bit more kid friendly. She has a shooting sleeve, you know, her shorts go down to a good length, and basically she just doesn't look like the Looney Tunes stripper. So how do you guys feel about this?
Cancel culture. Well, they kind of made her less racy?
Yeah. Everybody has a problem with that. Everybody. Everybody likes the old Lola Bunny.
Really?
Now, can I just admit that I never saw the original Space Jam? Have you seen the original Space Jam?
No.
With MJ?
No.
Not even with your kids?
No.
No.
I think my kids have seen it. I know my kids have seen it. I did not see it. Space Jam. 96, I was like new into radio. I didn't have time.
I'm a strange guy because I like when they make cartoons,
ooh,
like cartoon women into like cartoon women,
like
if you know
Hana,
what I'm saying.
Hana?
Yeah. I'm all right with that.
Thinking they don't do that anymore.
What was that Bugs Bunny stuff? What was that one? Who Framed Roger Rabbit or
yes,
something like that?
Yes.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I was a grown man then.
I'll admit I had a little crush on Betty Rubble back in the day with the Flintstones.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I like cartoon. Yes.
Didn't like Wilma. I did like Betty, though. That was Fred's lady, right?
Absolutely. She Mrs. was Jetson. What's her name?
Jane.
Jane. Was that the daughter?
Judy.
I couldn't mess
Jane
with Judy.
And Judy,
she was
right?
too young, but yeah, Jane was okay.
Mrs. Jetson, yeah.
Yeah.
And you're always like, why would she marry that dork? He's a dork. Well, whatever. Hey, so thank you, Zay. No, I haven't seen Space Jam. The cancel culture strikes again, I guess. We'll take your thoughts on it. This says Z reporting that, no, I didn't call anybody fat in that conversation about Bath & Body Works. I did not. I said round-shouldered.
Absolutely.
There's some sturdy ladies throwing hands, I'll tell you that.
I don't want to be in between all that.
No. You don't want to get in the middle of that deal. That mm-hmm. is, you'll lose some things. We will reset the headlines. A good day in Fort Worth for the Texas basketball teams. Also, Charlie Collier makes the big announcement. And Texas baseball, nice weekend out in Houston. We'll recap the Longhorn weekend, NBA All-Star game. And yes, Bucky did watch Coming to America, and you saw some of the royal interview.
Yeah, man.
With Harry and Meghan. We'll get some details from the Buck coming back. It's B&E on a good, bad, and ugly Monday. Glad you were with us. Live, local, and digital. You know we're always streaming on the Horn app, your smart speaker, and at hornfm.com.